Our scripture this morning is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. On the sixth day, God completed all the work that he had done. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Does anybody see what time it is right now? What time is it? About 11:30. I've got 1 hour till nap time. There was a point in my life about 4 years ago that I learned that about 12:30 in the afternoon is the greatest hour of my day, when the kids finally start laying down to take their nap. And nobody told me how glorious this moment would be, that once you close those bedroom doors, it's like this world of opportunity for maybe 2 hours, if you're lucky, that you have peace and quiet and this moment to rest and to rejuvenate and to sort of collect all your nerves back together again to prepare for the rest of the day. So let me just paint a picture for what will happen this afternoon, is we will sort of conclude our worship service. We'll have a benediction. I'll shake hands and wish that many of y'all will have a great week. I will run into Julia, my girls, as they're coming out of church, and we'll sort of coordinate driving plans on how we're going to get home. And we'll end up at the house. And at this point, the girls will be running around and bouncing off the walls. We'll try to have some sort of a lunch for them, to which they'll refuse to eat and probably end up throwing it at each other or on the floor. We'll get so frustrated that we'll tell them that they either have to finish their lunch or just go to bed right now. Somewhere we'll break down in our discipline and they'll have a show that's on TV, probably My Little Ponies this week. And they'll start arguing over whose turn it is to watch the show and whose turn it is to have the remote control. And they'll start fighting, and somebody will argue with the other, and someone will push somebody else. And then they're fighting, and then we separate them, and they go into their rooms, we lay them down, and they take a nap. And Julia and I just go, yes. Now, each of us have a ritual that we go through in the afternoon, and Julia has this ritual where she sits down at the kitchen table and she has her laptop and she makes herself this cup of some kind of very specific British tea that has to steep a very specific amount of time, that if I do it wrong, she gets very upset. And that becomes sort of her ritual of how she begins nap time. Now, me, I like to try to catch up on things that I haven't done throughout the day, or I like to sit down and maybe catch up on Facebook or watch a show on TV, or I'll read a book for a little while, and I find things to do during the space of those couple hours that I wasn't able to do when the kids were awake. And I try to fill up that space with as much time as possible. And it's so interesting the way that I have an opportunity to rest, but in that time that I have to rest, I usually find ways to fill it up with other things that I need to do, or other things that I've forgotten about or I've been putting off. And I try to fill up that space as well as I can. And I just end up making my time, my day, more busy than restful. If we were to think about this for a second, words like rest, renewal, rejuvenate, how many of us would those three words describe one of our days during the week? Not a single hand. Not a single one of us. Do what? Oh, you don't know what they mean? I gotcha. So like resting and relaxing. Are any of your days restful or relaxing? Yeah, okay. One, a couple hands, yeah. We think about the time that we have to relax or to rest. And to many of us, that's a foreign concept. We're sort of more occupied by the things that we have to do than the time that we have available to rest. I asked the question in the 9 o'clock service, and I'm interested in knowing y'all's answers as well. If you had 2 to 3 hours in the middle of your day, what would you fill it with? 2 to 3 free hours in the middle of your day, what would you do? Read? Nap? Play video games? I'm with you. Watch Hallmark? Yeah. All right. See, I found that when I have free time, I usually end up filling it with more work. I think of the things that I haven't done. I think of the things that I still need to do. You think about those thoughts that you have at the very end of your day, right before you go to sleep, as you're sort of planning out what the rest of tomorrow will look like. How is it that tomorrow is going to go? And you're thinking about the things that you need to do. Part of those thoughts are usually the things that we didn't get done today. The things that we sort of pass on, that we have to reschedule, that we regret the conversations we haven't had, or the things that we didn't get done, and we move them to the next day. And eventually, our to-do list, eventually the things that we have to do, get so large that things start falling off, and we just can't get all of it done. We're so busy that it's hard to find those periods of rest. We almost have to imagine what would we do if we had a couple hours to rest and to relax. And in our busyness, we find ourselves with very little time, very little freedom to enjoy the life that we're working so hard to create. And that's sort of the tension that we find ourselves in the scripture that we read today. We read from the very last part of the first account of creation in the first and the second chapters of Genesis. And you heard out of the Common English Bible the very end of the sixth day, where it says that God completed the work that he had done. It's almost this idea is, you know, sort of putting on the finishing touches, sort of putting on that last bit of polish and putting everything where it goes and almost stepping back. And you have this sense of accomplishment. You have this sense of pride as God surveyed all that he had done. And it was good. And he had completed this work, this idea that he had had from the very beginning. And then on the seventh day, it said that God rested. He took time and he set it apart and he made it different from every other time that he had spent thus far in creation. And he rested and he made that time holy. And all those the scriptures, we hear references back to this very moment of observing the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Now, others interpret this in different ways of not doing work or not buying things. In my family, our tradition was Sundays was a family day. We weren't allowed to go over to our friends' houses on Sundays. We weren't allowed to sort of go out. We had to kind of stay and spend time with the family. Wasn't the best when we were growing up, because there was other things that we wanted to do. Sunday was the only one of two free days that you actually got to go out and see your friends and hang out with them and play. But the value that comes with taking a period of your week and setting it apart and making it different from every other part of the week. Now, I'd always imagined this rest of God, this Sabbath that God had created, almost as if God had fashioned the world, and then he rested. He took a step back and took a nap or relaxed or kind of kicked back, and he recovered from all the work that he had been doing. And I'd always thought about this story in terms of almost tiredness or exhaustion, and that he needed a break. But another way to read it and to see it this week is this idea that after 6 days of God crafting and weaving and molding and breathing life into this explosion of relationships and energy and movement that he had crafted and created in this blanket of creation before him, it's almost as if God picked up what he had created and wrapped himself up in it and turned the fullness of his attention into being present in what he had created, in the relationships that he had imagined and crafted, and enjoying it in the fullness of God and space. It's almost as if God turned the fullness of his attention from making to enjoying and resting in that enjoyment of what he had crafted. When we think about our weeks, we usually think about our weeks in terms of sort of schedules or to-do lists, things that need to get done, things that we would like to get done. And we think so hard about what it is that we're working for. I know for myself and many others, we work to create a better life for our families. We work to make sure that our families have everything that they need in life to be happy and healthy and to become contributing members of society, and then we send them off on their own, and then they do the same. But the reality is that we get to working so hard that we don't have an opportunity to enjoy what it is we're working to create. And after a while, we've worked so many long nights, or we've worked so many hours, or we've put so much stress and anxiety and worry into what it is that we're creating, that by the time that we get a moment of peace, we're too spent and exhausted and fatigued to actually enjoy it. So the people that mean the most to us, our families, our friends, our neighbors, when they get those moments with us, they get the very worst parts of us. They get what's left over once the world has used up all that we have to offer, has chewed us up and spit us back out. They get our frustration. They get our disappointment. They get our fatigue. They get what is left over. And there's so much more of us to give that's better than that. When God rested on the Sabbath, I don't believe that we got what was left over of God's creative energy, that he was spent and exhausted and needed the break. I believe that in that rest, instead, God turned the fullness of his attention and affection and adoration into what he had created and wanted to spend time with it. And in that space of the Sabbath, we got the very best of God. The enjoyment of that relationship that God had crafted that is unique in all of the universe between us and God. And we got the very best of it. Now, when we think about our weeks, it's hard to find time. It's hard to make space. It's hard to find times to rest, to relax, to renew our energy, to get ready for what's to come in the weeks ahead. But there's a space where I believe we can begin enjoying the life that we've worked so hard to create. Think about what it is that we're working for, and then creating a space during our days or during our weeks to where we actually have time to enjoy that space. To where we have an opportunity this week, maybe today or the days to come, where we carve out in our day 5 minutes, an hour, a couple hours, an afternoon, an entire day even maybe, where we can spend time with the people that mean the most to us, where we can turn the fullness of our attention onto them and be fully present in a moment and engaged in the life that God is helping us to create around us, but enjoying the world that we are creating. Maybe this week we have an opportunity to do that volunteer project that we've been putting off, to make time to do something in the community that we've said we would like to do, but we haven't yet been able to make time in our schedules for. And we claim that time. We take back control of our schedules. We take back control of our planners. We take back control of our days, of our Sabbath, of our enjoyment and our rest. And we give God the fullness of our attention and our adoration, and together we enjoy the world that God is creating around us. Now, it's easy to get caught up in the way that it seems like our world is unraveling sometimes. It's easy to get caught up in the disappointment, the frustration, the exhaustion, the fatigue. It's easy to get caught up in the cynicism. It's harder to find the times that's worth living, to where we can become signs of peace and of calm. The very things that this world needs to see, to know that the kingdom of God is breaking forth, are the things that are hardest to claim if we're exhausted all the time and overworked and stressed and anxious. So by reclaiming that space, that enjoyment of the world, to where our fullness of attention is on God and the world that we're trying to create, we can reclaim that testimony of peace, of calm, of joy, and become a sign to others that the kingdom of God is a place where they can find rest, renewal, and the fullness of the attention of God turned towards them as they once again are renewed and remade with their Creator. So maybe it's not a nap this week. Maybe it is a nap. I will love to get a nap. I see some nods. Maybe it's 5 minutes this week. Maybe it's an hour. But claim yourself some space this week and find time to rest. Find a relationship that's been neglected. Find a stranger that needs a random act of kindness, and turn the fullness of your attention onto them to bring them into that space of the kingdom of God where they know that they are adored and loved and a child of the living and creative God. Amen.